Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy about late ice fishing and a lot more. All this coming up right after a word from some of our sponsors.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're down in Hayward Bait and Bottle again, talking to Jarrett McCarthy down here. And Jarrett, you know, we mentioned before, winter doesn't want to let go, but we've seen it again.
It just doesn't want to quit. You know, we just got another 8 to 10 inches or what have you, and we got more on the way this coming week. So, yeah, if winter would just knock it off already, it'd be wonderful.
As far as the ice fishing, there's still a few guys getting out. You know, they're going to keep going until they can't hardly crawl out on the ice. Some guys.
Yeah, and it's going to get tougher and tougher with all the snow that we've got coming, and the snow that we've just had. But, yeah, you know, there's nice ice out there, so there's plenty of opportunities out there with panfish. So the guys that are getting out, they're going to keep going until they can't go anymore.
You heard reports of the fish suspending, starting to suspend more now because it's getting later in the winter?
Yeah, and, you know, a couple weeks ago when I was out myself, most of the fish that he had seen were suspended. You know, last weekend, I think it was game fish closer, we had went out to a couple spots, and, you know, we were in fairly decent water, you know, 10 to 15 feet, and we were finding that there wasn't a whole lot of oxygen on the bottom. A lot of our suckers and shiners were dying, so those fish are definitely going to start suspending out in those deeper waters.
Yeah, they come up, it's an oxygen thing, and hopefully we don't start seeing some winter kill. Depends on how long this ice will hang on here. If we keep getting these storm fronts, I was kind of predicting we'd have an early spring or ice out, but because the ice that we have will probably disappear past a lot of white ice in it. But, you know, as long as winter keeps coming in.
Well, luckily, you know, we've got that storm that's coming this week, and who knows what that's going to bring. But next week, just looking at temperatures, I see a lot of days that are going to be in the 40s. So hopefully that's a trend that continues, and we can work on getting rid of all the snow and ice.
You know, and bass fishing, it will be open early, as well as crappies and panfish. Perch, panfish, bluegills, crappies, all that stuff is still open before the opener.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as soon as we get to ice out, you know, the opportunities of early season panfish are probably going to be some of the best times of the year that you can get out and target those fish. When we still get ice out, a lot of those fish will probably still be deep, and once the water starts warming up, it'll be some really good fishing, and that's when a lot of people like to go out and do that. When those fish are hungry, they're moving up from the shallows, and then when they think about starting to spawn,
they're looking for warmer water and better oxygen, and, you know, that usually equates to shallower water. Let's talk about the smallmouth fishing. Usually they tend to bunch up too when once you get toward open water.
They do, yeah. They'll bunch up right before ice out, and they'll sit on those deeper rock structures or what have you. And then as soon as ice out comes along, you know, probably about a week to let them settle, and then you can go right back to them. They should be in those same spots. But yeah, some really good opportunities with the early season bass that we have right now to go out and fish largemouth and smallies while you're, you know, waiting to go back to fishing walleyes.
You had any reports from people heading other places? They usually do in the spring. People head for the Fox River. They head for the Mississippi River.
Yeah, in fact, one of the young guys that was here with us last spring, he sent me a picture. He's fishing down the Fox, fishing for walleyes already. He was getting some really nice fish down there. So they're just using big ripping baits down there, casting, and they're catching some nice fish down there. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of places that you could head to that have open water opportunities right now for walleye. And obviously those seasons in the rivers are different than we have in the lakes around here where you can still target those walleyes. But yeah, there's definitely some fish to be caught.
Well, I just had reports too. My neighbor, he came from down there towards southern Wisconsin, down by La Crosse area, and he's got friends that reported they're catching a lot of walleyes down there right now in the Mississippi River. And that whole Mississippi is open all the way from Pool 3 up by the Twin Cities going south.
Yep, it is.
And as long as we don't start getting a lot of runoff, if we start getting to that runoff, then those rivers tend to start getting pretty wild, and you know the current gets really hard to fish and even be out there sometimes.
Yep. So I mean, the earlier in the season you can get to those rivers before, you know, we start getting all this snow melt up north or what have you, the better.
You know, and a lot of guys head up to Rainy River up there, Rainy Lake. They're looking for that sturgeon bite in the spring.
Yeah, seems like rivers are going to be the hot thing over the next couple months.
Well, rivers always are an interesting thing to fish. I mean, I grew up fishing rivers, and you know, you can actually, you don't need a depth finder for the most part in the smaller rivers and streams. You can see where your eyes are your depth finder. You can tell where the fish will be. It's a little bit more predictable, and it seems like rivers aren't as affected by weather fronts, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up down in Burlington, Wisconsin. We've got the Fox River that runs through. We've got the Fox River run through, and we've got the White River that meets it there in town. And, you know, most of that river you can wade through. So, I mean, just walking through river and just learning all the different little bends and rocks and structures and stuff that are in a river, you know, it can go a long way with, you know, for teaching you how to look at big bodies of water, but, you know, some awesome smallmouth fishing and a lot of different opportunities in rivers right now.
Let's talk about some of the new tackle and stuff out there. I mean, you guys are really scrambling now. You're in high gear trying to get things ready for open water.
We are in full-blown remodel mode, yeah. We got a whole bunch of good spring stuff coming in. You know, we're definitely gearing up for a better walleye year this year with all of our spinners and what have you. A lot of new bass plastics that are coming in, some really cool fur jigs that are coming in. They're made by a Rabid Bait Company, so it's a really, really cool plastic that, you know, if you take a traditional craw bait and you put, like, fox fur in the end, it's a really, really live presentation underneath the water, but a lot of really cool baits coming in this year.
You know, and it seems like more and more people are going to, especially even for walleyes, going to artificial lures for the most part, although there's always going to be a place for a jig and a minnow or a crawler or a leech.
Absolutely. You know, and kudos to those people who are getting out there using those artificial that are, you know, getting away from a little bit of live bait, because you learn a lot about different species of fish by, you know, picking different artificials. And it's great to have a plan B rather than just live bait when you get out there, because if you go out there live bait and it's not happening, you know, at least you got a plan B to go to plastics.
Well, with the plastics, I think in the lures, you're forcing a reaction bite. You're making them bite on it for a reaction, where if you find where they're at and you sit there and put a live jumbo leech, for instance, or a nice juicy minnow in front of them, chances are they're going to eat that.
Yep. I mean, personally, you know, there are times and places where I use live bait, but a lot of my arsenal is plastics right now, whether it be for walleye, bass, or, you know, my favorite crappie. But there's some really, really cool artificial and plastic baits out there.
Well, Jared, it's been interesting having you on here. You're getting rid of all the ice fishing stuff. You get moving it out, but you still have a sale on, right?
Yeah, we still got the sale. We still got 10% off all shacks and augers while we've got them out. And, you know, we got 5% off all ice electronics. But, yeah, it's coming to an end for us here pretty quick. And, yeah, we're excited for spring and summer.
You still have one Mega 360 here, I think, too, don't you, Ice?
I do. Yes, I do. Yep.
And that can be easily adapted to a boat.
It sure can, and that ice sail applies to that, too.
You bet. Well, thanks, Jared, for coming on here.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Toohey. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzleloaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Ski-Doo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
And Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people I get on here from time to time is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. Had a chance to talk to him the other day on the phone about late ice fishing, and for fishing open water, Eric offers some great tips on fishing drop shot rigs.
Eric, do you think we're going to see some really good late ice fishing? We usually do every year when we get to the middle of March here.
Yeah, and that's something that just kind of came with time. We had, you know, some warm spells, heck, even some rain. And a lot of these factors have kind of, you know, packed everything, and then some really good cold snaps in between everything, which really firmed things up. You know, I would say for the most part, anyone can get out there, whether it's on foot, whether it's on machine, and be able to get around and get in some ice fishing before our open water season. So,
yeah, and I think right now is the time we usually see some pretty good crappie and bluegill fishing and perch.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, we definitely have that extension part of the ice season. You know, our pike and walleye will be closed, but panfish is always a good option. And then, of course, not to forget, you know, bass as a catch and release fish is of option through the ice.
Well, you know, talk about the bass. You know, we'll have open water here in a few weeks, and maybe sooner this year, hopefully, because that a lot of that ice is white ice. It should go away pretty fast when it starts to warm up.
Absolutely.
But, you know, one of the options we have always had is going after crappies and bluegills early in the year, but now we've got the option of going after bass, and you can actually get some really good smallmouth bass fishing in once we get first open water.
Yeah, first open water, heck, I mean, even last ice, you know, you talk about a, you know, your crappie, you know, jig set up, maybe it'll be light line and, you know, your tungsten jigs. And when you can get on a little spot with some smallies that are really active through the ice, I mean, that could be a hoot or a riot. So there's some aspects that with our larger species like smallmouth bass or even largemouth through the ice, it gives us a little bit more options in our extension of our ice season. But then also when we do get that open water aspect where we have seen some aspects of open water come April, and heck, if you can get your boat in the water, why not go chase them?
Well, you know, the smallmouth bass really start to seem to bunch up too. The closer we get to, you know, in the May, early May, but even in April, they seem to be bunched up more.
Yeah, it's not something like, you know, scattered onesies, twosies. You might put in some time for the day just trying to find that pot of fish, but when you do find that pot of fish, you know, you got to imagine, too, this is cold water technique. So, you know, we're, you know, basically right after ice out, give or take, you know, and leading into the month of May. So these fish are ice cold, just like you might be catching them in May as well. So generally grouped up really well, like you're saying. A lot of our techniques are going to be a little bit on that finesse side, some hair jigs. You know, you might be doing some drop shotting, just things that you can slow down, because you got to remember that water is cold.
I know, and once we get into May, it seems to turn into a jerkbait bite where you're twitching minnows and jerkbaits, a little bit more aggressive approach.
Absolutely, yeah. So as we, you know, get through that fishing opener, you know, generally we start to see things kind of, you know, make its way leading into summer, and as things warm up, that jerkbait bite becomes ever prevalent, and which is just a phenomenal, fun bite to get on.
Yeah, and it's weird, too, because it seems like the best jerkbait bite is always pre-spawn, and once we get past the spawn, they change completely to a different presentation almost.
Yeah, especially on the lakes, there are aspects that they might just want things slower. Maybe, you know, the jerkbait bite in May just is such an aggressive type of fishing. You might not see that arise till, you know, maybe in the fall time frame when these fish are, you know, again, colder water, and maybe a little bit shallower too. But it all comes with the time of the year and seasons, and we just roll right through it here up here. So,
you know, you mentioned drop shot too, and that's something that was always, it was a bass presentation, but I find myself using drop shot a lot more for walleyes and even panfish, because it's a very effective approach for just about anything.
Well, absolutely, and it's not just only a finesse technique, but, you know, when you can locate a spot or location, the beauty of a drop shot is that you're able, I consider it a placement bait. So there's other, you know, jig type baits that are, you know, going to make bottom contact, and you can kind of place and leave it there. But a drop shot, you can give a lot of action and keep it in one place, you know, versus having to retrieve the bait and pull it away from the structure, pull it away from the fish, and you know, entice these fish to eat. You know, gosh, you know, there's been days on the water, like you're saying, where you pick up crappies, you might pick up, you know, some really nice walleyes, heck, even midday in the middle of summer.
Well, it's even kind of crazy, too, if you're using live sonar. Like, I've been running Garmin LiveScope on my boat for the last couple seasons, and we went to the drop shot, and especially for walleyes, and you can actually spot the fish 20, 30, 40 feet off the side of the boat, make a cast, watch your drop shot go down right into them. Watch how they react to it, and if you move it, then they come after it, and you kind of entice them, like you said, into hitting, and it's just crazy.
Yep.
You watch it, what's going on in real time on your sonar screen.
Yeah, and every fish, every location, and even times of the year can be a little dependent on the cadence. You know, there's still a cadence that we give with a drop shot, and having technology like that, I mean, that just emphasizes to be able to watch the fish's body language on the graph, and, you know, notice how they get amped up and really, truly turning them into biters. So,
yeah, generally, I'm just running a split shot instead of the expensive drop shot sinkers, that just a heavier split shot. But how do you, as far as that distance from your hook to your split shot, your hook's above the split shot, the weight's on the bottom, or the whichever sinker you're using, what kind of distance do you like to set it at?
Yeah, so a little bit of that plays on time of the year. So as you get into those dog days, I might really decrease my line that would be coming from the hook to the weight that's making bottom contact. That might be as low as, you know, 8 to 12 inches. Generally speaking, though, for the most part, you could run somewhere around that 14 to, you know, 18 inches off that weight. I feel like more times than not, even in the summertime, you'll be just fine with that. You could play around with some distances. I wouldn't get too far over 20 inches, though, especially if you're, you know, making longer casts. If you're making shorter, just kind of a little flip of the rod, short casts where you're a little bit more orientated to putting on structure, you can play around with those distances. But generally a 12 to 16 inch lead going down to your weight is just fine, I feel like.
You know, and for people that are not really familiar with our rigging up of the drop shot, you know, you just tie the hook on the line above your sinker with a polymer knot. One little trick that I count on is it you always want that hook point riding straight up. And if you tie your polymer knot, right, then you take your tag in before you put the sinker in and run it back down through the eye from the top to the bottom. It'll always keep that hook point pointing up on you.
Yeah, so that's one of the, you know, the original ways of tying that drop shot is with a polymer knot. Give yourself the line, you know, because that's what you're, that line, that tag end, like you said, is where you're attaching that weight. It's going to orientate that hook, you know, upright tip, you know, barb facing up towards the water column. And you want that horizontal presentation, you know, no matter if it's a worm or if it's a minnow style body type plastic. The other aspect that I found has been really, really effective has been using the VMC spin shot. And now it's a Nico spin shot. So that Nico hook has got a little bit longer shank. It's still a thinner shank in general, but it's got a slight, you know, three degree offset. So that longer shank, I see way better hookup ratios where that hook is either in the top of the, you know, jaw or in the coffin corner, like we, you know, where we love to see it, where they're not going to be able to throw that hook. So way great hook, for hooking, percentages. And then that Nico spin shot, drop shot hook, it's actually the hook is on a piece of wire. So you're tying in your line. Generally a fluorocarbon leader or monofilament leader to that hook. And then on the bottom end, there's going to be a pinch point. Now, for me, just like you, we don't like losing weights and dumping a bunch of weights in the lake, of course, and that can be costly. So I generally will tie, even though there is a pinch point to hold your line. And then down below, I'll still tie that weight in, even though there's a pinch point on drop shot weights. And that spin shot hook, because when you hook a smallmouth, as a, for instance, they're a wild critter. They're going to be running all over the place. There's less tangling.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take you out another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. And when we come back, we'll have even more from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Erie Tuohy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Erie Tuohy.
Using drop shot, the style of the sinker, you know, too, makes a big difference as far as snagging up. The long pencil-type sinkers, the elongated ones, their bell shapes seem to be better as far as being more snag-resistant than a round sinker.
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, there's a bell shape. You can go with like a round style. I've really liked using a pencil style, just because I don't feel like I get snagged up too much in the rocks with it. But it's also really nice pulling through sand grass or other types of weed vegetation that you're utilizing or, you know, putting your bait in. And, not so much like a big, you know, cabbage bed or, you know, milfoil patch or anything like that. But, in that more open water sense, I feel like that for me, that pencil weight style drop shot has been a go-to. So.
Yeah, you know, like I said before, too, is if you just want to just get real basic, put a split shot on and tie a little knot below it. You can always pull the weight off if you get snagged up and you just lose the split shot. But it's not as right. ideal as that the regular sinkers that are designed for it.
Yeah, and if you were to go the split shot route, I would just tie just a granny knot, overhand knot at the end, just so there's less chance of it popping through. You know, it's unfortunate to get snagged up in rocks because a lot of times we're fishing rocks and other different types of, you know, debris that weight might get snagged up on. There's a little trick of the trade, you know, to give the rod a little bit of a cant bend to it and then snap the line, pulling down from your reel and creating a recoil back to it where you drop the rod tip as soon as you snap the line. Now, a lot of times we'll kick the weight out. If you can't, sometimes you got to take the trolling motor, just get on the back side of it and lightly pull little taps with the rod, and a lot of times they'll pop free, but sometimes it just wedgies right in there no matter what kind of weight you got. So,
Eric, what tells you when to go from, say, a finesse jigging presentation to, like, a drop shot?
There are certain aspects, just more so how the fish are responding, if you would. So another finesse, you know, jigging, technique would be a shaky head, jig head. It's a staple, to whether you're largemouth or smallmouth fishing as a, for instance. And, another kind of real tight, compact bait that you can, you know, work along the bottom, not like a Ned rig, but, you know, still using maybe those longer style worms. We can rig them weedless, but more keying in on bottom contact. If those fish are just not wanting to, you know, swim down and pick that bait up, well, I'm going to slow it down and I'm going to keep that bait in their face until they want to eat it. That's where that drop shot will just shine. I see, for me, the drop shot kind of like a Ned rig. One should always be tied up on a rod, and generally, if you can't get them on anything else, you'll probably get them on a Ned rig or a drop shot. So,
well, typically, I'll start out with a little more aggressive presentation, like a swim jig, or you know, maybe even just swimming a hair jig, bouncing it off the bottom. And if they're not touching that, then you start going back down to the more finesse presentations.
Yep. Yeah. So when you see those big, you know, bass guys on TV and they're running around with, you know, 14, 15 rods on either side of the deck, you know, they're able to take different rods and reels and call through baits, and that's what they're doing. You might pull up on a location and those fish, you know, are willing to swat, you know, a chatterbait or something like that, or jig and pig, and then all of a sudden you might have a shift or change in, you know, whether it's location or even just weather for the day. And you gotta slow it down, and you gotta put it in their face and make them eat it. So,
a lot of good information there, Eric. Hopefully, we'll get some open water early this year and get out. I'm kind of tired of this winter. I think a lot of the people up here are.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of the S word, and I'm sure everyone's looking forward to that open water just as much as I am. Gosh, you know, I think about the last few years in the month of April. You know, we've been fortunate to maybe get in the boat or at least be waxing the boat, you know, getting her ready for that open water season. So there's a lot of things to, you know, be thinking about here as we're moving forward and just getting ready for that season. So
anybody's interested in getting out with you and maybe learning some of these techniques and going out and catching some smallmouth early or getting some early fishing in or even into May, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can reach me at my phone, which is going to be area code 612-384-9127.
You bet. Well, Eric, I want to thank you much for providing all that great information for our listeners here.
Hey, it was great chatting with you, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.